Today in the Science and Spirituality podcast, we interviewed Rob Kalvarowski, who is a leadership coach. So, a quick bio on him. Rob is a world-renowned leadership coach and TEDx speaker whose wise insights about toxic leadership, mindset, and finding purpose in life create impactful change. Rob is known for the ability to coach his clients to massive growth quickly and sustained results over years. Rob co-hosts the Leadership Launchpad Project, ranked Canada's number three leadership podcast, which, quick note, I was actually a guest on his podcast recently, so you can go check that episode out. So a bit more on him. Before coaching, Rob spent over 10 years working in engineering across heavy industry. Rob graduated from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, with a bachelor's in mechanical engineering. He was a three-time Academic All-American and U18 Canadian National Water Polo team player. And it was a fascinating conversation because we initially talked with him. At least the topic we thought we were going to choose was about mindset and beliefs, although I guess it could tie in, but we started to blend more into a relationship with self because that's clearly his path, as you'll hear his story, that in the last handful of years, he'd healed a lot and changed himself a lot through building a stronger relationship with himself. And I think it's really insightful for every one of us.
Yeah, and it's cool that, we were originally going to talk about mindset and beliefs, and the conversation kind of shifted towards that. And like that, I kind of feel like we've talked about so many times on our podcast is like how everything starts because we live in an inside out world. So like kind of getting right on the inside will affect how you live your life on the outside. And that's kind of what we moved into and talked a little bit about internal family systems. And it was kind of funny because when I saw that Rob, like he was an elite performance coach and I'd never met him before. I was expecting like, all right, some guy who's like being like a suit and like be like very like, rigid or whatever. And he was just so like soft spoken and like very intentional with his answers and very like very wise. Like, so it seemed like he had a lot of experience to touch on. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of him because you really felt like he thought about your questions and he gave like really thoughtful answers. And that's what I
Definitely.
appreciated.
I agree. And that's a really astute observation because I felt the same actually. I met with him for like 15 minutes before we actually even scheduled to record this episode. So I met with him before and like again, like seeing his bio as like a leadership coach, like I thought he'd be this like very rigid, like not stuck up, but like by the rules kind of guy, like very like hard-headed maybe potentially. That's why I met with him for like 15 minutes to see like, is he a fit for the Science and Spirituality podcast? But yeah, he totally was because like there's that down to earthness and like you said, soft spoken, but like there's an energy that he brings to his conversation and just his day that is incredible. And if you watch the video of this recording, which is available on Spotify, you'll see, and I think we actually mentioned it, he's outside. Like he lives in, I think it's Costa Rica now. But like he's in nature, like just super, super
Just
open,
vibing.
spiritual. Yeah, for sure. So like it's very different than like what you can hear in his bio. It might not even seem like it fits, but it really does, like as we get into this conversation. So yeah, very powerful conversation. And I think that the conversation we had on building that strong relationship with self and then realizing that other people's relationship with them on their own selves then affects how they show up in relationships. Like it's really like shows how clear it is in leadership positions and, bosses and managers and all that. Like just it's very clear once you get to this, understand the deeper side of life, which is people's own relationship with themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy to understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. So, Rob, it's good, amazing to have you here today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. Obviously, I'm in the jungle in Costa Rica and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I've been really looking forward to this conversation. And yeah, you're getting tons of sunlight, which that is still surprised me when we first met that your recording station is literally outside. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny. So literally I've been in this setup for about 2 weeks, and everybody has asked me, is this background real? And I'm like, you'll see the birds.
I was literally gonna say that when you came on the podcast. I was like, oh, that looks like a cool Zoom background. And like I think I now I'm putting it together that it's you're actually outside.
Yes.
Oh, it's real.
Which Rob, I just that's sparked a memory. Your email that you sent me, we still got to talk about dragonflies and the spiritual meaning. I've got some ideas about what that means, but we could talk about that after recording. But yeah, so in having you here as a guest, we'd love to hear your story just to start out of how you got to be doing the work that you do as a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of been a long journey, and I know both of you have gone on similar ones. And it's very much like when I'm Canadian, grew up, started playing water polo at about 10 years old, got super into it. We won a natty at 16, was on the junior national team, and that led me to getting recruited to MIT. And so I went to MIT. I'm a mechanical engineer. I played polo there. And then that was sort of like, my parents always said, it's like and I'm sure you guys heard it too, right? Is like, hey, do well in school so you can get into the best college, so then you can get a good job, and then you're, white picket fence and the whole bit, right? Wanting to have kids and a golden retriever, right? And I graduated MIT, and then I started working. I got a job in coal mining in British Columbia, and I moved out, small town. It was like around 3,000 people. We're in the Rocky Mountains, and whatever, it was cool. And I worked there. I saved them a boatload of money, and I was like, hey, this is my fast track to success. Like, after a year working there, I saved them tens of millions of dollars. And I was like, my whole life was taught basically this belief about if you deliver, folks will recognize you and validate you, and then also you'll be like, given things, kind of, right? And I had the inverse. And so now I talk a lot about bad bosses, and my boss was, he was passive aggressive, and he also had this attitude of like, don't rock the boat. We want to keep status quo. And then everything was like, well, for him, I didn't see it then, of course. But looking back at it was like, for him, this was very disruptive in having somebody new who's finding all these things that he didn't find. Well, that wasn't his job, but that wasn't found before. And so I started getting pushback. And the more work I did and the more things I found, the more pushback that I got from him. And then ultimately, that led me to becoming depressed because I was like, I thought work was me. And my whole life, that was sort of how I was taught, right? Is like, perform in the pool, your coaches like you, you score more goals, you win more games, this is all good. And in the classroom, same thing, right? It's like you get A's. Your parents go great, your teachers go great, your like thing. And I had a concept that like work was me. And if I deliver at work, then I am a whole, accepted, good enough person. And when this wasn't happening, it was catastrophic to who I am. And that led me down the path of, who am I? Does this world have any meaning? Was this all just like, everything I learned like clearly doesn't apply. And it led me to a suicide attempt in 2013. And the part that I don't necessarily want to talk about is that, but the part is the next morning. And this is very common for most suicide attempt survivors is I woke up, I got dressed, and I went to work. I knew consciously my job was killing me. I knew my boss was an asshole. And yet I didn't have the self authority to decide to leave. And that was sort of the path. And so I kept working, until, you know, whatever, another 6 months to a year later, I had a job, I got another job, and then I left. And I spent basically the next 6 years just completely dissociated, floating through life, not really having purpose and meaning, not really being happy, not really being depressed, but just being nothing. And in 2019, I hired a coach, who Susan Hobson from Elite, who's now my business partner. But I hired her to help me launch a consulting business of engineering for me. Just not even like, I wasn't thinking like, I want to hire folks. It was just like, I want to be an independent consultant and basically do what I was doing in corporate, but I never liked the corporate thing for me. And that led me to like emotional intelligence, which put me back into therapy. And then being doing a lot of the deep work in therapy. And then ultimately that led me to ketamine and psychedelics as a way of healing, because I did about, 150 EMDR and IFS sessions with my therapist, and I didn't feel better.
Mm.
And she was like, Rob, like, I don't get it. And that led me to going back and looking for like basically like medical help, because before that I had done, 15 medications and they've only made me worse. But ketamine opened up this whole new world for me, which is this spiritual side and this element of like, it pierced the veil for me. And if you would have said to me, hey, like, you know, in 2015 or something, like, Rob, are you whatever? I would have said, I'm agnostic. Like, I don't have evidence to say that, like, God exists, and I don't have evidence to say he doesn't exist. So therefore, that's where I'm at. It's a very scientific way of looking at it. And now I can say I've experienced things that I, and seen things that I don't understand, and that there is an element of like the psychedelics which connects you to source.
Mm.
And that led me to like realizing that my whole career was this fear-based way of living, which allowed me to quit my job and then subsequently do all this training and stuff to become a leadership coach, which, as I told you, Kevin, in our one-on-one before, it was like, ultimately, I just want folks to be more happy and self-led and fulfilled and like connected to source. We call it leadership coaching, but we do a lot of this like future aspirational self and like the belief work that you guys do. We do that too. And ultimately it's less about like, hey, I want your company to be more productive, and more of like, I want you to heal and become a better self.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing your journey. I mean,
thank you.
Despite that, obviously we had met before briefly. Most of it is new for me to hear. First, wanted to say, I'm glad you're still here, Rob. I bet you are too, obviously, for the work that you do and you showing up and obviously sharing your message, not only here, but on your podcast and with your clients and what you do is for work. But still, I think our world needs people like yourself, people like ourselves, and honestly, people who listen to stories like this and actually are interested, because our world is changing rapidly. And I think this needs to be talked about more. So thank you for your courage to share.
Thank you.
Mm. I'm curious, Rob, from what you had struggled with, and then, I mean, you said there was 6 years that you went through where, in my words for it, it sounds like you were in the dark and choosing that, obviously, maybe from a protection mechanism, just surviving in essence. But what was the spark that really helped you go beyond that? Because I can almost guarantee you there's someone out there listening and may feel like they're in what they would maybe describe as a dark night of the soul and don't see a way out. And you said it was 6 years. Whether it's 6 years, 6 months, 6 decades, 6 days, whatever it is, like, it's difficult. And so what was that spark for you? What shifted for you to actually seek help, or even maybe that help came to you, because that a lot of times happens on a spiritual path where like that awakening doesn't even come directly from inside, but it's an external support. So what was that shift for you?
Yeah, there was two moments. So the first moment was in 2017. My wife and I went down to Knoxville to go to a Tennessee football game, because my college roommate was at UT doing his PhD. And I was talking to him, and he was just like telling me all these things that he was reading and all these things that he was learning, not in school, but like outside of school. And it's sort of like I walked away from that going like, I need to connect back to learning, because I hadn't done that. Like it was, there was a reason for this, right? And the brain, you mentioned protection, right? Is like, my brain was like, if I just put all the shields up, then I don't have to feel inadequate, or I don't have to feel good. And if I stretch myself at work again, you know, that's going to hurt me, because we saw how it played out last time. And if I try to do new things, well, we saw how that played out last time. And so it was very much this like turtled up way of living. And seeing my friend was like, oh, like, I like learning. I used to really love this, and maybe I need to start doing this. And so that just led me to like listening to a bunch of podcasts, like all these, I just was like top entrepreneurship podcasts, and I listened to all of them. And that led me to starting my own podcast in 2018, which was just an engineering podcast, like very focused on the work I was doing. But I started meeting folks, and it actually became wildly popular in this one like very small niche. And that actually led me to reaching out to Susan, because I was like, well, I have this brand. I have like the number two podcast in the world in this very niche market. And I was like, how do I monetize this? Because I don't know how to do that. And also, I don't like working in corporate. And that led me. And then Susan, with the emotional intelligence, basically opened up the dissociation, which was like, oh shit, like I'm suicidal, I need help. And that put me, of course, into therapy, and then eventually on this journey.
Wow. Interesting. It kind of sounds like it was both, like the inner and the outer, which also is another, you know, there's no one size fit all of like how someone goes through a journey of awakening and a major shift, but that is fascinating. But it's great. It's, you know, came from your own internal. I think that's even like, it's sometimes the most powerful, where like it starts in the internal and then gets supported by external circumstances or a support or, you know, a shift and something opens up. But that internal like increase of, I need to do something to change my life, I think that really is supportive for, I think I'm speaking to the choir here. Like it sounds like that's what you help people do. Like, you know, with the leadership and, this is my term, but self-reliance, like starting to cultivate that inner self so that you can meet life circumstances head on.
And that's completely true, right? And the folks out there who are listening to this, who are in their dark night, right? It always starts internally. You listen to something, you hear something, you read something, you see something, and you're like, oh, you know what? That's who I am. And that's the switch.
Right.
Right. And it could be, maybe you get a boss who's like, wow, you're really good at this. Or you have a friend who goes, wow, I heard you on whatever, something, and I think you're amazing. Or, you know, you meet somebody brand new off the street, or like even you watch a TV show and you're like, holy crap. Like, right. Like I have a client who's like, I want to do stand-up comedy. Like, he's an engineer.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to do stand-up. And I was like, dude, you got to go for that. Like, you don't have to quit your job and like do the full time, right? But like, go to an open mic.
Right.
Right. Like, or if you want to go safer than that, it's like, invite 10 friends over and do it in your living room. Right. Like, mini what I call mini experiments, or the things that I focus a lot around with my leaders, is what's something you love to do or want to try, or even if you think like, hey, this will be a business for me in the future, but like, how do you like do that for a month or 2 weeks in a way that doesn't cost you anything or minimal, that you could try out and see, ooh, I like this, or you know what, that's not for me.
Right.
Yeah, I think that the brilliant thing about that approach too is that it allows you to try something new, but also like staying in the bounds of like the comfort of your nervous system to kind of just test it out a little bit. Because I feel like sometimes when we want to make these huge decisions, it's in such dissonance with how our nervous system feels that we're just like, I'll never be able to do that. But being able to like take those small baby steps to kind of get a sense of how it feels, and you can kind of start building that resilience in your nervous system, then you're like, hey, maybe I can do this. But like the small steps like built over time is what really helps with that. So I think that's a brilliant approach.
Totally. And like, Chris, like when I coached part-time or off the side of my desk, I suppose, for about, I think it would be like a year and a half before I quit my job as a corporate engineer, right? But it's like, and this is the part where some folks with psychedelics and like, you know, it's like you go on this journey and you like have these amazing insights and you come back on Monday and you're like, I'm going to drop everything and change my life. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, yes. And how can we build this slowly and in a way that makes sense, so that like, you're right, is like, if you quit your job and money's not coming in the door and you have to pay your rent and you have to pay whatever, it's like, that's going to really go put your system into protection mode, and you can't experiment. You can't try. You can't be in this space of like experimenting, growth, learning. It puts you in this very focused mode where you're like, I must generate cash and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's not going to help you on your journey.
Mm. Do you think that was happening in a kind of like a sense with your old boss too, like when you were presenting all these new things, and like in his head he was just in like survival mode almost, like he was, you know, like, this is going to impact me because I should have caught this, and like this new person is coming up and he just graduated and he's got all these, like, I feel like he might have been not open to your ideas because he had the blinders on because of his, you know, the state of his nervous system.
Absolutely. And so I did a TED talk on how to deal with an asshole boss. And so I'm very much into like toxic bosses, and there's 6 types of destructive leaders is what the research calls them. And all 6 types you can explain through IFS as being protection. And so it's all this element of like, if I ultimately somewhere inside, I feel like I have a belief that says I'm not good enough, or I'm unlovable, or I'm rejected, or, you know, we all have probably 2 to 3 big core ones that really hurt us. And then in IFS terms, we develop protectors or defenders that are like, I'm going to protect Rob from feeling like he's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I'm going to make him overachieve. And if he's overachieving, people are saying, wow, Rob, you're amazing. You're so good. Right? It's like our proactive way of not feeling the pain of not good enough. And so in general, almost everybody, before they do their own healing work or go on the spiritual journey, they're all living in defense mode almost always. And it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. It just is. We all experience some events in our childhood, whether that's like crazy trauma or it's just like, you know, a child misinterpreting of an event that happened as like something. Like you're standing in the kitchen and you see your older brother say, or get an A on their math test, and your mom goes, wow, I'm so proud of you. I love you. And then in your mind it goes, whoop, I must achieve to get love from my mom.
Hmm.
And then you're 45 and you have a team of 100 people, and that's how you manage.
Interesting. Mm. Rob, would you just for a moment go into IFS, like what it is, because we only briefly touched about it, And obviously you and I know, we all know each other from our previous guest, who is Dr. Sunny, who spoke about psychedelic assisted therapy. She mentioned IFS, but just in case someone who hasn't listened to that episode has listened to this episode, if you'd introduce that very briefly.
Absolutely. And so I also use IFS in my coaching practice. And
nice.
And it's very powerful. And so for folks out there, I want you to just tune in and you hear and just realize that, like, you hear voices in your mind, right? And you hear more than just one. And in movies, you know, you have the devil and angel on your shoulders, or you have, you know, that one that's like, oh, you should do this. And the other one goes, no, don't do that, right? It's real. And that's parts, what's known as parts. And so folks out there, like, in technically you have infinite amounts of parts, but in general, folks can kind of access somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 30. Don't quote me on that, sort of more like what I've heard from my therapist. But those are the ones that do various things for you. And there's sort of three categories of parts. One is those protectors that we talk about. And so they protect you from feeling your core belief or your core trauma of, like, I'm not good enough, I'm unlovable, I'm not accepted, I'm powerless, like stuff like that. Those parts that carry the burden of I'm not good enough, I'm not accepted, those things, those are called exiles. In general, they're child parts. Something happened in childhood that led you to developing that. And it's a burden that you at 5 years old literally experienced and you carry now, however old you are. And the crazy part is, basically all of those hurt child parts are developed in your entire, like, your subconscious mind is developed from when you're 0 to 7 years old. And so, like, I'm born in 1988, and so I'm running Windows 1995 in my mind as my operating system. But now, like, I have a 2024 computer, right? Like, you know, I'm married, I have a dog, I have a job, I have a team, I'm running practice. Like, of course we need to, like, look back at our operating system and go, like, you know, there's some things that are out of date here. And so, yeah, so there's the protectors. There are the exiles, which are those hurt child parts. And the protectors kind of sit on top of those exiles as a way to defend them from pain. Now, there's the proactive ones, which are called the manager parts. Those are the ones that are making you people please or strive for more or be hyperlogical or play the victim or aggress on somebody else or super judge other folks. Those are sort of the proactive types. They're trying to prevent you from feeling pain proactively. But ultimately, every once in a while, something will happen and you'll feel bad. That's just the nature of life, right? And then the firefighters step in. These are the reactive ones. And they're basically, Dr. Schwartz talks about three mechanisms, the three D's of firefighters. Distract, dissociate, and distract, dissociate, and douse. Basically, they'll do anything to avoid the pain. And so it can be anything from addiction, shopping on Amazon, you know, ordering a pizza when you feel sad, like these type of things, to, like, literally, like, getting into a fight, or, like, Chris, when we were talking about bad bosses, like, yelling at your employees. Like, this is a firefighter that was triggered. Hey, I'm not good enough. And, you know, you made a mistake on your report. Therefore, I'm not good enough. And so I'm going to yell at you. Right. And then the last one, which is probably the most important, is just self. It's not a part. It's you. And self is, you know, what we're all after with spirituality or therapy or whatever, right? And it's you at your core and all the gifts that you have. And the goal of IFS is to get to become more self-led. And this is you making decisions from a place of wholeness. And that's the big thing, right? Is like, this isn't those decisions about, technically, they don't have an agenda. So it's like you're not trying to show how smart you are or make more money or get the CEO, you know, corner office thing or buy a Mercedes because it makes you look great, you know? It's just like, hey, you know what? It'd be really great for me and on my purpose mission that I do a TED Talk. Or it'd be really great for me and I would feel a lot better if I moved to Costa Rica or if I got married. Those are some of the things that when I was self-led, that's what led me to doing these things.
So is the main message, I guess, of the coaching that you do, is it to help integrate those parts, or is it to help amplify the self, or is it maybe a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. So all the parts, regardless if they're destructive, like literally I have one that's like, Rob, you should kill yourself. They all want to help you. They all want to help your system. And the one for me that's suicidal is basically like, whatever pain you have, and whatever pain you're going to experience in the future, if we can stop it today, we can stop it right now. And it's actually trying to help me. And that's the big pivot, is a lot of folks, they think it's like either you get to this like spiritual bypassing where you're like, hey, if I learn mindfulness enough, I don't have to like, I can shove it all down and not experience it. Or some of like therapy or some addiction programs, they're like, you know, if you just logically reframe, then like you just shove it, like basically you're just telling your parts are wrong. It's leaning in to the parts with love. And so when the one tells me like, hey, I want to kill you, like let's end it. It's like, no, I totally understand why you're trying to help me with this. And I like, thank you for protecting me. But I'm the leader of self now, and I need you to step back. And it's really like, it's not about ego death or like killing these parts off or anything. It's like showing them that one is you're the leader and building that relationship with them. And also they will naturally, once you build trust there, they're naturally going to pivot into roles that are supportive. And so that's ultimately the goal, is like you're the leader of the system of all the parts. And you're there to like be empathetic. Like basically just think about like a great leader at work. It's like, do that for yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for that intro, or which honestly I don't even know if you do call it like an intro, because
pretty deep there.
Yeah, we did. But I appreciate you expanding on that, because I know when I talked with Sunny, that was part of what we discussed. I know it was obviously more psychedelic therapy led, but I know that obviously the work that you do, which I'm thrilled to hear, I had no idea that you were trained in IFS, makes sense obviously for how it's helped you. But for anyone listening, just to be clear, because I don't think we've even defined it yet specifically, but IFS stands for internal family systems. So that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that.
I have a question, like a follow-up, because like I'm thinking like for people hearing this for the first time, like what would be a question they might have? And one that pops up to me is how, or what are your strategies, I guess, or how does someone tell the difference between a voice that's self versus a voice that's one of these helpers, or you know, like is there a way to tune in to like what feels good, or like using the emotions? Like what's your, I guess, your starting point for that if someone who's asking that?
Absolutely. It's a great question. And the answer is always feelings. And so when I work with folks or when I coach folks or even like I do a lot of meditations now with folks and I send them out to people and it's all about that feeling of groundedness and not, you know, like not like agenda driven. And so all of your manager and protector parts are going to have an agenda. So I want to make you look better. I want to make you earn more money. I want you to, you know, whatever, get something, recognition, right? And it's very almost fear driven. I mean, it is fear driven, right? It's like what the Buddhists say, right? Is like life is suffering, which is more like life is thirst. And it's like those parts are the thirst for more. Self is love driven. It's the reason you guys started this show. It's the reason I'm here. It's we have purpose and we're trying to share our love with the world because we can help people. That's the difference.
So I guess it definitely takes like first, and because again, I'm just thinking like some people are so used to ignoring or like bypassing their feelings and emotions instead of integrating them. Like I know in the past for me, like anytime like a negative emotion would come up, I'd be like, oh, I'm not supposed to be having these. Like I'm supposed to be happy. I'm not, you know, and it's like, instead of just sitting with those uncomfortable feelings and letting the message come through, it's like, you go to drinking or you go to a drug or you like you watch TV or you eat. And so I feel like for a lot of people, it's like even just basically building some awareness of like what you're feeling inside, because our society is so outward driven. I feel like it's like anytime you have a feeling, there's something to fix it. And so I feel like a lot of the work, and correct me if I'm wrong, is really just building, developing that internal awareness, which takes a lot of like stillness, which our society doesn't like, honestly. Like I feel like we're always so go, go, go.
It's true. Right. And it's unlocking the curiosity. When you feel bad, what does it mean? Why? What's right? And internally listening to that, because your part will be telling you something. Hey, I saw that picture on Instagram of your friend and they're on a trip to Bali. And I feel real bad because I'm not in Bali, right? Right? Or like, ooh, I saw that influencer post and they got a private jet. I don't have a private jet. And then the step next is like, why does that matter? Or like, why does that hurt? And it's tuning in. And for folks out there, like if you wanna, I have a 3-minute meditation type of check-in, emotional check-in, I can send it to you. Just send me an email, rob@elitehighperformance.com, and I'll send it to you. And it's not like, it's not IFS. It's just literally like, how do I feel? And like opening the conversation of like, how do I feel? Where does it show up in my body? Like what's going on? And it's like a great way to just start cultivating those moments. And we talk about, at Elite, we talk about this concept of like emotions are intelligence. And when we feel bad or we feel, we call them red flag feelings, anger, frustration, stress, sadness, despair, dread. These emotions are telling us that something's going on in our subconscious that either we have a belief that needs to be updated, right? Like operating system, or we're in a values misalignment. And so like, if I was looking at myself when I was depressed at the mining job, I would say, yes, part of it is totally my mindset. Like I need external validation. And the other part of it is like, I can't work in an environment that doesn't value me as a person. And so it's like, now we start digging into both.
Seems like there's not just one size fit all, of course, which is, I think, in our, I'd say more Western society, we do get into that thinking like black or white, like what is it? Need to know. But that's beautiful. And I would definitely encourage anyone to reach out to you to get your meditation for that. Is it, it's in a way it's simple, right? It's just actually listening in and just being open and being willing to hear. But again, it's not something that we've been modeled or trained to do. Most people in the world, Western or Eastern part of our world, like it's very uncommon.
Yeah. I think this is like, you know, again, when you're sitting and, you know, these uncomfortable feelings are coming up. If you don't have that awareness or that mindset to say, okay, what am I, these are coming up for a reason. There's information in here. What can I learn from this? If you don't have that awareness, your body's going to go into a fight or flight response. And you're going to want to suppress that. And so and a lot of the IFS stuff, it sounds like it's taking those things that would cause you stress and cause you to want to run and flee and actually befriending those parts of you because they are parts of you. And like really like understanding like, what's the purpose of them being there? And even just having that thought of like, there is a purpose for them being there. It really helps to shift your whole mindset to actually, like you said, have a curiosity mindset around it, which is a total shift from wanting to escape. It's like the complete opposite.
Yeah. They're trying to help you. They just don't have the complete picture. And they don't also know that you're an adult. They're trapped in the past. And so you need to bring them into 2024 and show them who you are now. But you have to build that trust first, because exactly what you said, Chris, is because we've never checked in with them, because we've never listened to them, it's natural they don't trust you on the first try, right? It's just like you walk up to some random person on the street and you're like, yeah, can you trust me to like, do something completely different with your life, right? Like change jobs. Of course they're going to be like, who is this guy, right? But if you start building that relationship, you listen, you give them empathy, you give them love, that's when they start seeing a different way.
Rob, I'm curious with that, this whole topic and your way of approaching not only your life, but then how you help others as well with IFS. I'm curious, because as you were just sharing that of like developing the relationship with past parts of ourselves, usually they're younger. It brought to mind a story that I read from Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. Have you happened to read his most recent book, Becoming Supernatural?
No, I haven't
okay. Read that one yet. I'll get just more of curiosity to see if you have that basis. But long story short, I mean, and to be transparent, I haven't finished that book yet myself, but in the first couple of chapters, he writes about a mystical experience he had of visiting a younger part of himself that wasn't like a child, but it was, say, him like a few years ago from when he was really struggling, and him looking back and like meeting himself there was a mystical moment for him, because he literally remembers a couple years ago, he looked out his window where his present moment self, like when he was writing this book, he like visited him himself back then. And he remembered the moment that he was looking outside his window. And there was something that drew him to looking out there. It was like something familiar. And then years later, when he writes about it and he had that mystical experience, it was himself. He was outside his own window and like pouring love on his younger self. And he really believes that there was a spiritual time travel, where his physical body didn't travel, but his spirit did, his soul did, who he really is, did, to travel back and then give him that love, give him that message. So I'm curious if you see ties to that. I'm curious to hear your point of view on that. Cause I just, you saying this about like our younger selves is like, is that what we're doing? Are we time traveling to support our younger selves?
Yes.
Tell me more. So, I want to hear your perspective.
Peter Levine, who's a world-renowned expert on trauma, says that trauma is just a lack of an empathetic witness.
Mm.
And so when we were a child, we had a moment, we felt sad or we felt hurt or we felt pain, and our parents probably never just, they were busy or something. They didn't give us that love and empathy that we needed in that moment. And that's when we stored that trauma, created an exile or belief, and that led us to this moment. And, you know, in IFS, in EMDR, your brain, especially the deeper and the more you go, your brain will pull out memories that you didn't even realize you have. And all of them are asking for you in this moment to go back to that earlier version of you and give it love and give it compassion and take it out of that past and bring it into today.
Mm.
And these are ultimately, you're saving your past self and you're giving it that empathetic witness.
Yeah, the way I've heard it, the way I've heard it described, I forgot who, maybe it was in the Body Keeps Score or one of the books about trauma, that when you have a traumatic experience when you're a kid or at any point in your life, like a part of your consciousness almost fractures off, like it silos itself into that exact space and time. And in order to actually move through it and heal it, you have to bring it up. And I think a lot of the reason why it's kind of suppressed is because you need to give your body and your nervous system the space to actually feel like it's okay to bring that up. Like if your life's falling apart, or, you know, you have a job you don't like, and you know, you're just not in a place where you feel comfortable. Your body is way smarter than you. And it's going to know, we can't bring this up right now. This is going to totally wreck this kid. Like we need to like wait for him to be in a comfortable place, you know, in space and time to bring this up to be healed. And I think a lot of people don't get to that place without some kind of support and understanding of how the process works.
Yes. And the other thing, just Chris, I want to clarify is like the vast majority is when you're a kid, but absolutely you will have experiences after that if you went through significant trauma. Mm. Like, I don't know, like when I was suicidal, like I was 23, right? Mm. Or like, you know, maybe you got in a car accident, or, you know, you went to war, or like, you know, something, whatever, right? Those are also things that you'll have to revisit. Now, the big thing is if you've went through significant trauma, go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a therapist. I cannot help you with that, right? I look at today in the future, but I don't do the past stuff, right? But someone like Sunny, who is a therapist, she's perfect, right? So, like, and obviously for folks out there, like psychologytoday.com, I think, has therapists. Search for ones that do trauma, like EMDR or IFS in your area, and find one. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be here without my therapist, who is incredible.
A side note, you can also on Psychology Today filter for your insurance. So you can find someone who's in your insurance. Like it's, they make it easy on Psychology Today. And I want to say this before the podcast ends at some point, because I'd be mad if I didn't. But Kevin, you were explaining Joe Dispenza's story. It literally reminded me of Harry Potter when he saves himself with a Patronus.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking in my head. And like he faints and he thinks it's his dad, but then it's him. And he's like, no, like someone's going to come, and he ends up coming. And I feel like a lot of us in our life feel that way, where it's like, someone's going to come and save me, but like no one's coming. Like, you know, a lot of times it's like that bubbling up from within that like you need to be the one to seek help and do the work. And like you're the Harry that saves you with the Patronus. It's like it's you. It's just a different version of you. So I just wanted to say that before, because I was getting Harry Potter things, and I have to talk about Harry Potter if I can.
And that's well said. The last thing we'll just touch quickly, Chris, is when I talk about mindset and manifestation and all these things, the deeper you go into this work and the more you can tap into source and self, you will eventually or be able to find a future version of you or a wise part that comes from source, and they will show you what you could be or who you can be. And that is when you go from who you think you are or who you think you could be to that next level. And it's, of course, it's not like you don't have to learn anything or you don't have to grow into this person, right? But it allows you to see the possibility, and then you align to make that real.
Beautifully said. And it sounds like, if I may, I'm curious if you'd agree that everything we have just been talking about on this podcast so far is a way of understanding ourselves and opening up so that we can then receive and continuously move forward toward that new version of ourselves. And then it becoming clearer and clearer of a path, and that we get, it gets easier and easier. Like, we get more supported by means of us doing the inner work, clearing that, being an open channel through, so that source can support and our future self can even support us.
Yeah. Trauma keeps you stuck in the past. You can't even get to present if you don't heal the past.
Right.
The hard part of the work is getting from the past to now. Once you get to now, then you can see the future.
Right.
And then you have like pretty much endless possibilities for the future too, because you can, I mean, obviously there'll probably be different versions of yourself that you can dream into. And then without the anchor from the past trauma, you can actually tune into a future self and actually start to move towards it unencumbered by, you know, everything that's dragging, that was dragging you down.
Yeah. And we do some of this visualization work with folks is, and you mentioned it, Chris, right? Is we have an exercise, we have two actually, but one of them is called the legacy factor. And we have folks visualize the legacy that they are leaving on the world. And you can, and we always teach folks, right, is like, try something on, see if it feels good. If it doesn't, you know, try it again, iterate, right? And it's like, I don't think necessarily you're going to have this moment where you're like, it's exactly this, right? But it's like, if you iterate, you'll feel things. Of course, there will be moments where, you know, you get feelings from source, or you get feelings from, you know, the higher power, right? That's going to help you craft it. But it's always a process of continuing to become.
I think it's a beautiful way to bring us in for a landing, because what I'm hearing from you, and I think that I've believed this for a while, but it's not often that I think of it, because it's such a large concept and we often are so focused on day to day or week to week, even month to month. But like, we really zoom out. It does take time for purpose to reveal itself. And you even use the word legacy. That is a potent word. Legacy to be discovered and then lived into. Like, it may take some time, just like I think of how nature grows. Think of like the trees behind you. Each of those trees, I imagine they're decades, even maybe not a century old. You know, if we're talking about an oak tree, then yeah, we might get to that. But some years and years and years of growth to actually have the full fruition of what they are. I think that's the truth for us humans as well. It's just that we often are so zoomed in to our individual and daily and weekly and monthly lives that we forget that that is the process. But it's reliable, I think, that if we do actually just keep doing this kind of work, then more and more is revealed and life aligns more and more for us of who we're meant to be and what we're meant to do.
Fear keeps us stuck in the moment. And all those parts that are here to protect us, they're the ones that want you to do today.
Yeah.
Because you feel that thirst for whatever that is. But once you can develop the trust and transition them and become self-led, that's when you can become expansive.
Right. And like Chris said, possibilities open up. That's beautiful. Well, thank you for being here, Rob. This hour went by like that. As we're
I'm
bringing
happy
this in
to jump
for,
on again if you
yeah.
want to talk
Honestly, we've often had return guests if the conversation was not complete. But yeah, just for this episode, any final message? I mean, we'll of course, if you want to share like where people can connect with you, what you have to offer, then you could share that too. But all the links that you have to offer will be in the description of this episode. But any final message and anything you want to share?
If you feel called to go on the journey, it's time to move.
Perfect. Well said.
Yeah.
I like simple, succinct answers. Okay. Awesome, Rob. Well, thank you. And like I said, anyone listening, if you really resonate with Rob and his message and what he has to offer, you can check out the links in the description of this episode. He has a few things that really brilliant free gifts. There's a course that he has. We'll include the links all there. And yeah, we might have you back on, Rob. This conversation doesn't feel like it's complete.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, for folks out there, so we have elitehighperformance.com/legacy league. Like if you're interested in the legacy question, one is we have a free mini course on there, which does three different angles at that legacy question that we talked about maybe 5 minutes ago. And then it's also a community where you can interact with me, other coaches, get all the content we have. It's free for 2 months. So definitely elitehighperformance.com/legacy league. And if you have an asshole boss, which I'm sure most of you do because the stats actually say that 65% of you do, head on over to howtodealboss.com. I have a free ebook there, but I also have a program, How to Deal with an Asshole Boss program. And if you use the promo code Science and Spirituality, you'll get $50 off that course. So check that out too. And awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, yeah. Rob. Thank you. And all those links you just mentioned will be in the description, just so we're very clear. But yeah, thank you, Rob. This is an awesome conversation. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.